Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
What's going on, everybody? Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Welcome to New Life Live, wherever you're listening to today. Thanks much for making us a part of your day. I'm here with Milan Yurkovich. Hey, Milan.
Hey, Zach. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be with you again.
Great to be
with you. Mark Cameron is here as well. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Zach. Great to be here.
Yeah. Glad you're here with us today, too. This is round two for us. It was awesome to be with you the last time we got to work together, and we got a good show for you today. We're here for 2 hours, taking your calls, though. So 1-800-229-3000 is the number that you can reach out to us. If you need anything, please do so. Please reach out. We'd love to, at the very least, be good listeners and try to speak into your situation as best we can. I wanted to talk today, just kind of to open up our segment. I've been having conversations recently, just people close to me and just in casual conversation about the temptation, guys, to compartmentalize our life. And what I mean by that is this kind of illusion that maybe, I don't know if it's strictly a Western thing or an American thing or what, but we're kind of invited to see our life as operating in several different compartments. Like I have my work life, you know, my spiritual life, my family life, my marriage, and it's all kind of these just different buckets. And there's this illusion that none of those things overlap. And so obviously we know that's not true. Our life is much more comprehensive and holistic than that. But I wanted to ask you guys, what persuades us into thinking that? Why do we kind of operate like that? And then maybe just specifically from the kind of counselor seat that you guys sit in, how do you help people recognize that? And oh, by the way, it's wreaking havoc in your life to think that those things are completely separate. So, Mark, I know you had kind of were jotting down some thoughts earlier. What do you think about those things?
Yeah, I think you're right. It is a disillusionment, right? We can't compartmentalize without it bleeding into other areas of our lives. We are not meant to be that way, right? People, I think, who do that tend to be avoidant, right? It stops them from, it serves a purpose for them to do that. And it's hard to convince someone who is avoidant to not do that because it's helping them in that way. So, and typically they usually only come into therapy when they're in a crisis. And
yeah.
So learning actually to see how that is hindering your relationships and stopping that fulfillment, you can be proactive and do that. And I think Milan has a great book called How We Love, and it explains the avoidant attachment imprint, and it can show you how to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Milan, what would you add there? How do you help people see, like, no, listen, this is more interconnected than maybe you would like to believe?
Well, to the first point, it's easy to compartmentalize because our society does that. What do you do as a profession? And people say, you know, what's your job?
Sure.
What do you do?
Sure.
And where'd you go to school? And often the avoidant person is highly competent in their field, but then they go home and relationally they are not as highly competent and they may struggle there. So it's easy for them to say, I'm highly successful over here and less successful over there. So it's a natural step, I think, for people. The goal, Zach and Mark, is to learn to integrate all of who we are.
Yeah.
So integration means what is on the inside is also on the outside, and what is on the outside is in the inside. There's a thoroughness of consistency. And so I have to realize I take me everywhere, and I take myself home, I take myself to church, and my spirituality, my emotional intelligence, my intellectual intelligence, all those things, and my relational intelligence, all need to be together. And when I do, then, Mark, we will have that, mm-hmm. that closer relationship
yeah.
with other people. And yeah. so it's just something that... but it's rarely addressed. I appreciate you addressing it. And it needs to be addressed. It's called integration of all of who we are.
Yeah, well said. And again, if you're struggling with any of those things we mentioned, don't think that it's not affecting other areas of your life. So we're here for 2 hours today, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today on New Life Live. Zach Matchett, I'm here with Mark Cameron and Mylon Yurkovich. We are hanging out with you guys today for 2 hours, taking your calls. 1-800-229-3000 is the number if you want to reach out to us. We kind of started the show talking about how to avoid compartmentalization of our life, and sometimes we sense stress or just hardship in one particular area of our life, and we tend to not realize what other parts of our life. Mm-hmm. How is our marriage affecting our parenting? How is the stress of parenting affecting our work and our faith in God, or whatever the case may be, all these buckets, and resisting the temptation to just go, nope, all those things are in a vacuum. Mylon talked about integrating our life. We need to live a holistic life and understand that all of those things are interconnected. But I wanted to talk about quickly, I just mentioned marriage, how that can affect us. We have this Intimacy and Marriage workshop coming up here in the month of July. A great opportunity for you if you find yourself struggling in your marriage, just want to grow your marriage. It's a great way to get those conversations with your spouse started. And Mylon, you've been a part of these events several times now over the years, and just maybe give just a quick brief encouragement to those that may be need to take advantage of something like that.
Well, I believe it's one of those events that will give you a powerful jump start no matter where you're at in your marriage or in your relationship. It will help you because of several things. Number one, Kay and I teach quite a few of the sessions there, and Steve Ardburn teaches other sessions. But between those sessions, you have a small group that meets together, group of maybe four couples and a trained therapist. And the goal of those therapy groups or those small groups is to help you learn to integrate and wrestle with what you just heard. So it's not like you're just going to a lecture or something like that and you take some notes and walk away. You actually have to exercise that, exercise within what the concept is in your group. And then the bonding that takes place in 48 hours within that group. And it's so funny because I have been at workshops and, you know, on Friday afternoon, everybody's sort of is very, very reserved, you know, and they're looking at me like, who are you and what are you going to tell me? Blah, blah, blah. And then by Sunday, I mean, this group wants to buy condo together and, you know, buy a timeshare together and, you know, just, you know, BFF forever. And it just is a really cool experience. And then they will hear things in this workshop that Kay and I will teach that they will not hear really any other place other than here at New Life or reading our books. And it will really help them change. It's not just lectures. It's we want to teach them stuff to help them learn to do something different in their home.
That's great. What a great plug. July 22nd through the 24th are those dates, correct? In Washington, D.C.?
22nd through 24th.
Yeah.
It's at the Hilton Crystal City. You know, you can just from there see so much of downtown.
Yeah, it's great.
Of Washington, D.C.
Awesome. So visit newlife.com to get more information for that. But again, if you find yourself in that place, what a great resource to take advantage of. So we're going to jump to our first call here. Again, 2 hours. If you're on the line, we're going to get to you, but call us 1-800-229-3000. We're going to go to Mark. He is listening to us in California, San Jose, to be exact. And so, Mark, welcome to the program. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Thank you, guys. You hear me okay?
Yes, sir. How can we help you?
Okay. All right. So I need any feedback to help me. I'm trying to do repair with a separation with my wife. I've made some bullet point notes here to explain the situation to you as clearly and quickly as I can. Okay.
Okay. So yeah.
Last fall, my wife suffered really bad trauma when both her mom and her mom's boyfriend both died from COVID. She got COVID. It was very bad trauma for her. We've determined since then she is definitely suffering from PTSD as a result of that. With the PTSD, she's become very deeply emotionally disconnected and withdrawn from me, and it's been a great trial and pain for me for all these months. and in addition to that, it appears like old issues that we'd resolved in the past are sort of revived and reawakened, which I understand PTSD can do. Now, I add to the problem because I have rejection and abandonment issues. I'm definitely a vacillator, we've gone through you and Kay's material a lot, and I'm definitely a vacillator. And one of the things that happens is I have these insecurities about being rejected or abandoned, and so I press these needs on her, and that triggers her emotionally. She has bad emotional triggers, and it's been this way for years, but it was manageable. But now with the PTSD, her reactions are much, much more severe. Long story short, she has gone back down south to her deceased mother's home and has been there about 2.5 months, you know, to sort of try to get some healing and, you know, basically, you know, getting away from my neediness, to be honest. I think it was a God thing. God helped me to sort of put the puzzle pieces together recently and understand these things that I just now have told you. I didn't fully understand them before, but I understand that my neediness is pressing on her and triggering her, and I also understand that as a Christian husband, I was never supposed to be doing that. I was supposed to be putting those needs on Christ, and with PTSD is the worst time to put those needs on her. And so, you know, aside from I'm so heartbroken for how I failed her, I've got two items that I'm working on, and any input's appreciated. One is that I realize, oh gosh, the rumination that vacillators do, that's been me all my life, and so I'm working on that with, like, distraction exercises and so on. But the other important part, which is a spiritual element, is I've got to never put these needs on her again, which means I've been dropping the ball, walking in the Spirit, and putting those on Christ, and so basically this time apart from her is my spiritual boot camp to work on doing that. Yeah. Now, about two weeks back, I spoke with her and shared with her these new understandings that I got. She did receive that well. And one of the things I did is I said, look, you know, my neediness is interfering with your healing. So what I'm going to do is give you space and get out of the way. And basically no phone calls, no text messages for a couple of weeks. And then I will check back with you after that. And if you need to do it again, we'll do it again. So this is literally the spiritual boot camp for me right now. Because I've got to lean on Christ and, you know, just every single day being out of contact with her.
Hey, Mark, I'm going to cut you off here just real quick. I appreciate all the context and the clarification. This gives us really good... I think a good starting point to maybe how to address the situation. I think what I'm hearing you say, to distill your question down, is kind of twofold. One is just simply how to deal with just the separation from your wife, and then also secondly, how to grow in your spiritual life to not kind of co-opt your wife into fulfilling things that only God really can. That's, I think, what all three of us are hearing. Mark, I'm going to hand this off to you because I think I want to jump in here. So, Mark Cameron, go ahead and address Mark here on the phone.
Yeah, hi, Mark. And I appreciate how you've been able to kind of break down and identify your attachment style. I'm wondering, is your wife an avoider? Is that why she's distancing from you?
She's a pleaser. She is a pleaser.
She's a pleaser. Okay, and pleasers are actually avoidant, too. Mm-hmm. They're fearful avoidant. So they do avoid.
Right. And so they overlap, right?
Right. There is some overlap. And so what you're seeing here, she's struggling in grief and, you know, the loss of family members here. But what's happened is it really is just kind of lit a fire under what you'll call pattern is there. I used to work for a car dealership a long time ago in grad school, and I was a buyer, and we would drive, we'd test drive mm-hmm. these cars, and when we felt a car had a transmission problem, we would put that car under pressure, because when we put it under pressure, it really highlighted if there was a problem then, that what's coming out is you have all these unresolved things that are going on, and now you're under pressure. All of these things are coming out. And so I appreciate that you're wanting to work on yourself, but I don't think that's totally the way out of it for you guys, too. We are supposed to, we get hurt in relationships, and we're supposed to heal in relationships. And so I think learning to self-soothe and contain yourself is good, but also having your wife learn how to listen and hear you out, and you being able to tell her about your abandonment and about your fears, and her being able to respond to that, I think, will bring healing for you, too.
That's great. Mylon, how, what would you add here?
Well, Mark, you've said I'm a disappointment, and I'd like to suggest that I'm very pleased with, as Mark said, your self-assessment and your self-reflection skills. And I think you're doing a great job, and I'm proud of it.
Well, I owe some of that to you and Kay.
Thank you, Mark. Now, here's a couple of thoughts. Number one, the distraction exercises you're doing. Distraction is not the way we heal. Distraction keeps you from thinking and feeling what you're feeling. Because when you are triggered and your abandonment history gets pulled up into the present, you can feel very anxious and panicky. And so what I really encourage you to do is to sit in that and grieve the losses historically that put this imprint upon you. That's the opposite of distraction. I'm going to lean in. And as an adult, Mark, it is not as fatal as it felt as a child. Now, yeah. I'm an adult now, okay? And I can tell that's hard for you to think about, but grief helps us heal from the past. Also, I wouldn't be so extreme in you don't have to talk or text for 2 weeks. The goal would be to show your wife regular and consistent small doses of care, just to check in and say, you know, honey, I just wanted to take a moment, if this is a good time, just to see how you are and to check in on you. We don't have to talk for long, but I just wanted to say hi, tell you I love you, and check in on you. So those would be two thoughts as to what I believe might be more helpful than what you're doing right now. But you're doing a great job. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thanks for just taking the time,
okay,
Mark, to put those steps in.
Mylon, quick question.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my rumination usually isn't related to the past events. It's related to the current event and, you know,
that's right.
Fearing about
that's
bad
right.
outcomes.
And that's right, because rumination...
But are you saying I need to turn my attention back to the older things?
That's right. And what I'm saying is rumination... Okay. is about the catastrophic endings that we fear. So we focus on catastrophe, and
yeah.
then we're absolutely horrified at that possible outcome. And then when we ruminate on that, what it does is it deepens the thought process, it gets deeper, and we start circling the drain. And it can create huge levels of anxiety and depression. So what we need to do is look back. My wife and I spoke at Saddleback Church about a month ago, and our topic was looking back to move forward. So looking back says, I'm going to acknowledge my history and face that. I'm going to grieve that. I'm going to even, here's an interesting thought, go to a grief recovery group. And talk about mm-hmm. the grief from your history in the past. Zach, it's not just spiritual growth and maturity. It is also the emotional maturity
yeah.
we need to exhibit. And Mark, are you crying, Mark?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
I have in other times.
Okay. Well, I just really want you to think about the past. Because you're right, your wife will exacerbate that particular, as you said, abandonment theme. And then she becomes a focus. And then I got to get close. I got to solve. I got to get closer.
Yeah.
I got to make sure she's okay. Because if she's okay, I'm okay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, but focus on the past. That's what I did. And I had to get used to being quiet and alone and focus
yeah.
on my past and grieve that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, great thoughts, guys. And I want to get
Mark
Carolina a resource. Is there something we can send to him, Mylon, that maybe would address this specifically?
I think I love Steve's book, Take Your Life Back, Steve and Dave wrote, because it has a wide variety of things we can work on to take our life back. Because right now, Mark is being run, the bus is being driven by his history. And so he needs to be able to learn to drive his own bus.
Yeah, that's great. Great thoughts there, and we'll send you that book, Mark. Thanks again for sharing that with us. And again, it takes a lot of vulnerability to call on the phone and talk about even something as recent as a separation from a spouse. And so I appreciate your courage in doing so. Again, if you're on the line, hold tight. We'll get to you. Thanks again for joining us today on New Life Live. Taking your calls for 2 hours, 1-800-229-3000 is the number. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today on New Life Live. Zach Matcha here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm here with Mylon Yurkovich and Mark Cameron. I wanted to remind you that this is the last week when you give a gift during this last week of the month of June here, almost said July. We're going to send you a copy of Dave Stoop's book, Making Peace with Your Father. You know, we just celebrated Father's Day here recently. Dave, such an important and special part of our ministry that recently passed, but he had this book, Making Peace with Your Father, 11 Steps That Will Help You Make Peace with Your Earthly Father So You Can Have a Closer Relationship with Your Heavenly Father. And I know that for many of us, it's a trying time to not project maybe our relationship with our earthly father onto our relationship with God as our Heavenly Father, but Dave's book is a great resource. So again, any gift during this last week of the month of June, we will send you that book. We hope that it's a great resource for you. So we're going to go to Debbie here. She's the next call in line. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Did you say Debbie?
Yes. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. How can we help you?
Oh, okay. I just want to say thank you for your servitude for the Lord, all of you. I have a problem with getting along with women. I don't like them. I'm a Christian, and that's what's baffling for me. And I think that's I can't seem to get over that proverbial hump. I don't know if I ever will. I'm thinking maybe I'm a jealous, competitive woman myself, and I struggle with whenever women try to, if there's any opposition of any sort, I get defensive. And I ruin relationships because I think I have a problem.
Yeah. If I could distill a question out of you,
yeah.
Debbie, would you say it's maybe how to overcome some of this defensiveness, maybe some unforgiveness towards women? Would that be a fair summary of your question?
Yeah, my mother and I didn't have. My mother was jealous of me when I was when I went into puberty. She was very supportive and a very loving parent until I started growing up.
Huh.
And then I had noticed a change with her towards me.
Okay.
And it's been just downhill ever since.
Well, that's
one time I lost a job because I fought with a bunch of women. And I just want to share this with you. I don't want you to think I'm some whack job, because I'm not. I went home.
No.
And I just want to share this, and then I'll shut up.
You're fine.
I went home, and I cried out to the Holy Spirit. And I said, Holy Spirit, I said, why do I do these things that I hate? Why do I do the things that I don't want to do? And I heard in my, you know, Paul talks about a small voice. And your spirit's a conduit in which the Lord speaks through. And I heard I heard this voice in my spirit. I didn't hear audible. And he said, are you sure you hate those things that you do? And I've been in question of that. And I answered him, and I said, no, I don't. So I struggle with hatred. I struggle with competition. I struggle with unforgiveness. And the Lord said that if you don't forgive others, the Lord won't forgive you. So where am I going? Where am I heading as a Christian and as a believer?
Yeah. Thanks for being so vulnerable.
Because I thought there was no unforgivable sin.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being so vulnerable, first and foremost, to call and just share about what's going on in your life personally, even just the comment about your mother and how that may affect things. So, that, guys, it sounds like there's kind of a couple things here. One is just this, maybe some woundedness from that kind of mother wound, if you will. And then secondly, and I'll just throw it as a brief thought, I think sometimes it's hard to forgive others because we tend to judge others by their actions and ourselves by our intentions. And so we tend to maybe not hold ourselves to the same standards. That's why it prevents or puts a barrier in place to really forgive others and move forward. So, Mylon, you can jump in here first, but what would you say to Debbie here just to kind of overcome some of that stuff?
Well, Debbie, thank you for your call. And thank you for your self-awareness and self-observation and your honesty with us. I love that. What we just talked about on the previous call with Mark was how powerful history trains us. If there is one thing, and here's what a very important piece I want you to hear. The number one thing a child takes from their family of origin is the emotional atmosphere of that home. A child carries with them into adulthood the emotional atmosphere of that home. So if there is jealousy, if there is irritation, if there is competitiveness, and if there is dislike, that is a part of the training that was a part of your history. Then, on top of that, something else happened. And Zach, I'm going to hold that second thought until after the break here, but I'll put it back to you to push us into the commercial.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Debbie, stay on the line. I want to give Mylon a chance to finish, and then I want to hear what Mark has to share as well. And it, man, I think we sometimes undervalue the experiences of our childhood and how that brings crisis or hardship in our present. Again, going back to the compartmentalization thing, how is something that happened so long ago affecting today? This is another example of it. We are holistic beings. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm with Mark Cameron and Mylon Yurkovich. Thanks again for joining us today. If you're on the line, just hold tight. We'll get to you when we can. We're taking your calls today for 2 hours. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. We're on the line here with Debbie. Mylon, you are making a point, and you want to do the second half of that, and then you'll kick it over to Mark. So,
Yes. I was saying that we absorb the emotional atmosphere of our home. I know when I left my home, I carried the prejudices, biases, and dislikes that I was trained to carry with me from my home until I became an adult and said, I don't want to carry those anymore because they're not mine. They were my family's, and I don't, there's good things I want to carry forward about my family, but there's things I do not. The second thing is your mother abandoned you. Your mother became jealous toward you when you turned into a young woman, and she was threatened by who you were. She was a great mom until that happened. I see this a lot. We see this a lot where parents, moms, and dads change when all of a sudden their little child turns into a young man or a young woman. Now, your mom's abandonment is going to keep a very deep, or going to make a very deep impression upon you And I know Mark was going to say a few words about that.
Yeah, well, thanks for your vulnerability, Debbie. It's so hard when a parent rejects or abandons a child because, you know, you need your parent there. You need them there to love you, for your development, to care for you, and all of a sudden you become an adolescent and changes happen in your brain and hormones happen and you likely start to individuate and differentiate, which is normal for teens. And your mom somehow didn't like that. And she pushed you away. Mm. And that's really hard. And that's the moment when we need our parents the most. You know, I have teens right now. It is so difficult as a parent when teens push you away too. And when they give you attitude. But I have to remind myself that I'm the parent. Mm-hmm. It's not my kid's job to validate me. It's my job to validate them. And I feel so sorry for you for what you went through. And I appreciate how you can now make those links to see how this is impacting you, because you didn't have a mother who showed you how to communicate and have relationship with other women. And you're actually just, like Mylan's saying, you're repeating the pattern that you know is, you know, this jealous animosity with other women.
So Mark, when she gets in a fight with or an argument with another woman, she's really angry at her mom.
Correct. Yeah, and you're just replaying that out.
That history, that historical anger is rising up and presenting itself in the present. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've been to a therapist yet, Debbie, but I think that's really important, is getting into therapy, having someone process your childhood with you, those wounds, that abandonment, that rejection, and just having that stable figure there who you can talk to about those things and you know, maybe even say some of the rawest things too.
Yeah.
And they accept you and they help you walk you through that. And I think that could help you in relationship with others. I think also joining a group is a great way. Join a group with other women and learn how to be in this closed environment with them where you can be up front and tell them, you know, your hurts and how you struggle and see how they can accept you even in your flaws.
Yeah. And, you know, she said, I want to be able to forgive them, the women. Mm-hmm. That's not who she needs to forgive. She needs to forgive, eventually, after grieving the losses, she needs to forgive her mom. Mm-hmm. And that will begin to release her from her reactivity to the people in the present.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There are probably fewer places that could feel more lonely than when you're battling unforgiveness in isolation, when you actually are not talking that out. I love the recommendation of just getting into a group, whether that's something through your local church, something here through New Life, some sort of community. You got to have community to get through this. And I would say, too, like, this is where God can step in and help us do something that's rather challenging, which is to forgive someone. I mean, I think Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark, like, if you have anything against anyone, you forgive them. Now, it's much easier to forgive somebody if they're repentant and they say they're sorry. That it makes it easier for you, but sometimes that doesn't always happen. And so we need to have God's help to strongly help us to do something that may be so challenging. I was thinking, too, maybe Healing is a Choice. It would be a great resource for you, Debbie. And so we're going to send you a copy of that. We hope that it's helpful for you. So I want to give, just real quick, before we move on to our next call, normally Larry Sonnenberg is here with us to share just about how you can make a difference here at New Life, but I'm going to kind of stand in for him today and just share with you, man, we are a part of this match giving thing that's going on right now, and your generosity, oh my goodness, you're making it possible for this to even happen, for people like Debbie and others that are going to call in and just need some help. And if you give during the month of June or any time during this campaign, your matching gift is going to be doubled, and it's going to be something that we've been working through. And just know that when you give, you are helping those that are facing really, really difficult situations. You may have experienced the blessing of what it is to call into New Life or to receive counsel from people at New Life. And when you give, you make that possible for somebody else. And just so you know, there are a couple ways to give. You can visit newlife.com for more information. And so just know that when you give, you are making a huge difference in somebody experiencing life change. There are so many testimonies of people that have experienced profound redirects in life, healing in their marriage, healing in their personal life, getting connected to a group of some kind. And just know that when you give, you are making an enormous difference for somebody else as a result. And so again, go to newlife.com if you want more information about this specific match campaign that we are doing. Thanks so much for that. We're going to go to Judy next. Judy is listening to us from Saratoga, New York. Hi, Judy. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Yes, before I share anything, I wanted to let you know how much I love your program. And I've been to the Restore Workshop, and I've also been to Finding Freedom, and it has been amazing. And in the summer of 2019, my husband and I were married for 38 years when he had an affair for a year with a woman. And then when our divorce became finalized, they were married 2 weeks after that date. Our youngest son is getting married in July, and I want the Lord to be pleased with how I handle the situation of seeing my ex-husband and seeing him with his new wife for the first time. And I was wondering, there's only going to be about 40 people at the wedding, and I would like some godly wisdom on how to handle that situation.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling, Judy. So it sounds like there's this very seminal event. I mean, a bit of a crisis moment of finding out that there's been some unfaithfulness in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe just give me kind of just summarize what question we can best, how to help you, how to best summarize it.
Yes. What do I say to my ex-husband and his wife? Do I go over and approach them? And, you know, how do I deal with them? I'm not really sure how to handle being together with them.
No, that makes sense. Thank you. Mark, what would you say here?
Wow, Judy, that's such a difficult situation. I myself was married before my wife had an affair, and it takes so much to get past that or to get through it. It's so much hurt, and you were married for a long, long time. And that's a complicated thing when we get divorced and we have kids, because we have to see that person throughout the rest of our lives, because we're going to have these shared experiences of weddings and graduations and birthdays and things like that. And wow, how hurtful for you that he got married 2 weeks after your divorce was finalized. I think you're doing the right thing in preparing. You know that this event is coming up. You know that you're going to have to see him. You know that all of these emotions are going to come out, but really it's your son's day. And so I think you're doing a good job thinking about it. I would say the best thing to do is just to, you know, think about what your interactions may be and just be cordial. I don't think you need to do anything above that. You don't need to ask how he's doing. I think you just need to say hi and and respond as politely and maybe as shortly as possible, because that's what it sounds like your capacity level is right now.
Yeah, what do you think, Mylon?
Judy, do you find yourself hesitant to be assertive with other people, that is to have a voice and
I'm usually a very outgoing person. I love people. I love meeting new people.
Okay, what I was saying was assertive. That is, I have a voice to make my presence known. I can voice my opinions. It's not just liking to be with people. I'll also tell you who I am. And and I will be assertive to speak truthfully. And so that is what I'm questioning relative to other people. Is that hard or easy for you?
Yes, I would say that I am an assertive person.
Okay. Well, I think what Mark said is really important. And you said something a minute ago in your question. I want to please the Lord. And that's nice. But you've been deeply hurt. And so the question comes, you know, what do we do with people with whom we've been hurt? And I'll discuss that right after the break, Zach.
Yeah, stay on the line, Judy. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today. Zach Matchett, I'm here filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm with Mylon Yurkovich and Mark Cameron. We have Judy on the line talking about this recent revelation in her marriage, seeing her ex-husband now at her son's wedding, and just the complications that she potentially might see that happening. But Mark, I thought you gave great advice of just kind of keeping things minimal, cordial, polite, but also kind of keeping that boundary that you don't find yourself mm-hmm. into something much bigger mm-hmm. and much larger on a maybe an inappropriate time to unpack all of those things. But Mylon, I'll kind of give you just maybe the closing thought here, and then maybe a resource we can recommend to
sure.
Judy.
It's really important that you acknowledge to yourself and give yourself permission that you're going to be very ambivalent about how you feel at that wedding. It's not just mm-hmm. a day of pure joy. There's pain and joy commingled together in this event. It will be that way for your son. It will be that way for everyone because there is a destruction that has taken place in your life. So allow yourself to have and give yourself permission to say, I'm not going to feel great this whole time. I will have moments of joy and difficulty. So keep your conversations very short. Keep your conversations minimal. If they ask you a question, just say, you know, I need to go see some other people. Thank you for coming. And just move on. Really control how much yeah. you choose to talk to them. And do not feel like you have to answer questions or engage or stand next to them, maybe except for a photo, and then that's it. I recommend the book by Steve Arterburn, Taking Your Life Back, because it is a powerful discussion of how we can strengthen ourselves so that we can walk more confidently into situations that are painful, and when others impose upon us things that limit our life, we can then take our life back and choose to be the one who drives our bus.
Yeah, well said. I think about so many situations in my life where I wish I would heed the advice that you just gave, just having that boundary of, like, don't get too far into the alleyway because you may find yourself not able to get out of a conversation that maybe gets bigger than it needs to be or not the right setting or the right context. That's great. Advice for Judy. If you're on the line, just stay with you. We'll get to you as soon as we can. We're going to go next to Jenny. Just we wrap up our hour today here. Jenny is on the line. She's listening to us in Washington. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So my question is, how do I get motivated? Basically, I was abused throughout my whole childhood. And then I escaped through school, so that's how I kind of I escaped it. You know, and I focused so much on school to avoid the pain, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so then, as an adult, I don't know how to. I'm good at my job, but then after my job, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I'm sorry that happened to you when you're in your childhood. Do you think that work has become a bit of an escape for you from some of
yes.
these things?
Absolutely, it's my identity.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a line. There was a gentleman that wrote. That was an author. And he worked his whole career to try to get the big book deal, try to become a New York Times bestseller, and he got that. But it didn't satisfy him, and he had realized in that moment that he'd kind of made work his identity. And there was a haunting quote from an op-ed he wrote where he said, I made the kind of the value of my work the measure of my worth. You know, I made how every work was everything. I was hinging on how that went. And it could be an easy escape from those things. But goodness gracious, Jenny, you've had some significant events in your childhood that are populating some of these things and lacking motivation. And so I want to throw it to the guys. Mark, why don't we start with you? How would you kind of counsel Jenny here just briefly about how to not just overcome the childhood, but maybe how to find that motivation outside of something that feels safe, like work?
Yeah, I'm so sorry for your childhood abuse, Jenny. And it sounds like it probably, like with many childhood abuse victims, maybe it was someone who was close to your family. And so that's how you actually did escape the abuse. It was a survival level instinct. Bury yourself in school. Maybe you went away from school. And so now you primed yourself that way. You've conditioned yourself to perform and do well. And you probably got a lot of affirmation that way if you did well in school. And now you're doing that with work. But it's dangerous. It, you know, you've learned through childhood abuse that it's dangerous to get close to people because they hurt. Mm. And so now in adulthood, it's not serving you best, that purpose. And so now it's time to heal. So what I would suggest, Danny, is to try and get into some community groups. If you have a local church that you're part of, try and join a group. Or, you know, maybe just reach out to someone, one of the pastors or someone who's mm-hmm. a greeter there, someone who you think could be safe, and invite that person for lunch. And I think the obvious too, Jenny, I don't know if you've done this, if you've got into therapy, but definitely getting into therapy to process through some of those hurts, I think, is going to be pivotal for your healing too.
Yes, agreed. Mylon, what would you add here?
I think, Jenny, how does that resonate with you, what Mark just said?
So I've been in therapy for years. And I'm still kind of am. I haven't been recently, but it's the other part. I do have some issues sometimes at work because of authority figures.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, with the abuse, being told you do this or this will happen.
Sure, sure.
So yeah. I have this block with that too. I don't like being told what to do.
Sure. So I'm not going to tell you what to do. Don't worry now. I'm not going to say anything.
I'm just joking with you.
Okay? So, and that's an important thing to do right there, is to learn to laugh and sort of have a teeny bit of fun, and find things to find humorous. But we're just about ready to close. Jenny, I really want to encourage you. Therapy is one thing because it helps give us insights, but change is hard, but change has to be involve a behaviors and what I do in my off time. I have to take a risk, and I have to move out into something new and adventurous to give myself a confidence and a strength to do something that's very fun. To, you know, start playing pickleball. My wife and I just started playing pickleball about 4 months ago. And it's a blast. And, you know, I think that's the new state sport of Washington. And I really do. I mean, they really talk about it up there.
That's fun.
And then, Jenny, the other thing I did is I spent the last 25 years studying and teaching a martial art. And that gave me a strength to be able to know that I can resist as an adult. What I could not do as a child, for the pain I went through as a child, I can resist and hold people at bay, both emotionally and verbally, as well as physically, if that's necessary. But I found it gave me an internal strength. So I have to close with that and give it back to you, Zach. Jenny, thanks for calling.
Yeah. And I would just kind of add just a pastoral thought here quickly. I just think that, again, we started the show with this idea of compartmentalization, but I think to kind of unpack that more, it's so easy to make one part of our life the totality of our life. And so Jenny here has said, you know, work has become my identity. Mm-hmm. And, man, if you make anything your identity other than God, you know, I think the success of it will go to your head. You may become a little more self-absorbed, but if the failure of it goes to your heart and you don't feel like you're worthwhile apart from that. So, man, resist that temptation. Jenny, we hope that you were encouraged today. Thanks so much for joining us here on New Life Live. You can share the show with somebody that you might find it helpful. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.